Hello, everybody. Welcome to Comedy Film Nerds, episode 349.
Earlier, though, you were questioning the number.
I didn't like it.
Didn't feel right.
I just saw the sheet and I said 349.
That can't be right.
I thought we were in the 350s already.
Right?
But you know what it is? Our spoiler eps are in the 50s now.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of which, we will be doing a Rogue One spoiler ep.
Yes. From America.
From America. Yeah, we couldn't go to Australia. That was a bummer. That would be
maybe
awesome.
Next year for the, you know, for the main trilogies. We'll see if we can make that happen.
Sure. We'd go to Australia for any reason. If there's anybody out there listening who just wants us to go to a movie before and talk about it, we'll do it. Episode 349.
A lot we're going to talk about. We're going to do La La Land, Office Christmas Party, The Founder, and some cool trailers, Spider-Man, Fast and Furious. And some DVDs, the Ben-Hur remake that nobody saw, and Suicide Squad and a couple other ones. A lot to talk about today.
A lot to talk about. Of course, Rogue One Collateral Beauty coming out this
weekend. Yes, exactly. We'll be talking a little bit about those movies.
Maybe just a touch. Rogue One, we might have a thing or two to say about it. Earbuds update, Chris.
Yes. Earbuds update. The movie is available at comedyfilmnerds.com, including the extras, standard def, high def. We are still working on the DVD. It is still in the authoring stage, but everything is lined up. As soon as we were hoping to have it ready for Christmas, that may or may not happen. It's a little bit out of our hands, but it's as soon as it's ready to go and ready to be sent out, we will let you know. But we are working on it every single day.
Yep. And we are also in the process of making it available on iTunes and Amazon and all that stuff. That'll be a couple months down the road. But so if you want it now, you got to come to comedyfilmnerds.com.
Yep. That is in process.
Boom. All right.
Should we introduce our guest?
Let's introduce our guest.
Yeah, is this your first time guest? We've known him for so long. When we know a guest for a long time, we're like, well, we've had you on before, right?
Nope.
I just feel that. No.
No, we haven't. We've never had this guy on. We've both known him for decades.
Yes.
I was at his Christmas party Saturday night. It was a delightful affair. Mm-hmm. And
it's an ugly sweater Christmas party?
No.
Ooh.
We could have, though.
Yeah, a couple of them.
Chris is just trying to weave in our sponsor.
Yeah. You always got to be working.
You're always working, Chris. Get that plug in. TipsyElves.com, guys. Yeah. We'll talk about them in a little later on. But Mr. Chip Chinnery.
Hi, everybody.
So, Chip, we have known each other as stand-up comedians. I think I met you out here. I didn't know you really on the road.
No, I met you out here. Yeah. And you had come out in the mid to late 90s?
95.
Yeah, I was here, moved here in 94, and you came out in the next wave.
Yes. Yeah.
Next year with Pardo and Pat Francis.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, Pardo and Pat Francis came out like maybe a little before me, 9 months before me or 8 months, because they came out like January or something of 95.
Yeah,
I came out with,
right,
with Goebel and Jim Bruce and Tim Bennett in October of 95.
You're part of the Arizona Outlaws, as I recall. Right? Wasn't that your handle? The fancy sketchups?
Fancy ketchup. Yep, that was us. We were not the Arizona Outlaws, but that's where we met. Great stories.
Was that when the title of the sketch troupe was still in development? Fancy Sketchup.
Fancy Sketchup, God. Fancy Ketchup was a dumb name for a sketch group, I will say.
But, like, I.O. does all those things, like chocolate raindrops or thunder curtains.
If anything, you were ahead of your time.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're all called that now.
Yeah, it's all weird. Not that yours was weird.
Well, we just didn't want to do something call it. We all came from a thing called Comedy Corner at the University of Arizona.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. And we did some festival at Skidmore College, and one of the guys there was like, oh, is it Comedy Corner? Is it spelled with two Ks or something? And we were like, no.
And that's a good three. Idea.
Yeah, three. Yeah, we're part of the Klan's Comedy Corner. It's not racist. It's just an all-white comedy troupe.
Yes.
We want to perform in front of an all-white audience.
You already have a logo that you could use, right? Yeah, the KKK.
So I think when we came up with Fancy Ketchup, we just didn't want to have it be too like
must-see sketcho like we did.
Yeah.
Exactly, two on the nose.
Sketch and fetch it or whatever. Like, so
right.
So yeah, we all met out here. And then did you meet Chris out here?
I met Chris when Chris
we
was,
met here out here too.
Chris was booking the Borders bookstore.
The Borders
right?
bookstore, yes, for many years. Every comedian who came to LA went through Borders at some point or another.
You met everybody because of that.
Everybody
got one CD.
Yep. They got a gift card. It was one of the highest paying shows in LA.
It's true. I remember that. I would get a CD, I think, with it.
Yeah.
Because I didn't read. I don't read. I can't read.
Good.
Mm, right? Yeah.
Saves you some time.
See? But yeah, you were booking that. It was like before the, I guess, alternative comedy. It was right about the same time. The
same time, yeah.
Yeah,
and,
so.
And it was, it got so popular that we were doing it twice a month. So it was at the point where it was costing the store hundreds of dollars in gift cards. And then everything started to slow down and then it closed.
Right.
Mostly because they stopped doing alternative comedy in a corner. That's why Borders Books went under.
Yeah. Yep.
Makes sense. It's a business plan.
Yeah.
They should have kept us going.
It was weird how you could actually see the decline where, like, they would have a community relations person for the store that would book all the events and get people in the store, and it was great. Okay, great. Then there was a community relations person for five stores. Then there was one for the region. Then they eliminated the position entirely. And then they stopped doing all live events. And like, okay, well, this is about a year away from closing. And sure enough, that's what happened.
Yep.
That's how Chip and I met. And then we've done stand-up together, too. And it's great to finally have you here.
Thank you. You also recommended a plumber to me who was very good for a very long time.
Ken Colgan.
Ken Colgan.
Yeah, he's great.
I used Ken when I lived in the Valley.
See? I haven't reached him in a while. I don't know what's happened to Ken, but Ken Colgan plumbing.
He retired.
Did he?
Yeah, and he made enough money as a plumber and retired early.
He cashed out. He literally like cashed out.
And he's traveling the world. He went to India and like a bunch of other places.
Yeah, good for him.
He repiped my house, I got to tell you. It was a little more expensive. Because I remember this.
You get the extra stuff with Ken Colgan.
Yeah. Well, there was a guy you recommended to me that was like a part-time.
Yeah, he did it on the side.
Yeah, he did it on the Rodney. Side. And we had some problems with Rodney.
Yeah, Rodney wasn't so good about completing jobs.
No.
That seemed to be like a hassle.
Yeah.
Nice guy.
But I remember I needed to repipe
my
whole house because I had an older house. And I was like, and Rodney gave me a quote and it was pretty reasonable. I was like, this is good. But then he was like, he was doing like a couple of simple jobs for me. And he was doing a couple of simple jobs for me and you, Chip. And then we started talking like, wait a minute. Wait, he's not showing up for you? Yeah, and he gave me some... We were, like, trading stories. I'm like, yeah, he was arguing with me about something, or...
I remember being on the phone with you, because Rodney wasn't at my place, but he was at your place. And he was supposed to be at my place, and we were on the phone, and you're like, uh-huh, uh-huh, and like, yeah. And I'm going, is he there? Yeah, yeah. And I'm like, oh,
we were so... I remember that. And then I asked Chris, and you were like, well, you got to go with Ken Colgan. He's great. And Ken came in... And was a little more expensive than Rodney, but one of those things where worth every penny. He came in and said, I'll get it done in 3 days.
Yeah.
I'll start on a Friday, and we'll be done by Sunday night, Monday at the latest.
Yeah.
Sunday, midday, house was done. And I was like, if I would have tried to save, quote unquote, some money with Rodney, it would have taken months. Because he would have come in half part-time and...
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, buddy. You're going to need to use a bucket again or something.
Yeah. But Rodney referred me to my electrician, Bobby, who's fantastic. Bobby, I don't think, gets it because Bobby will call me, hey, I'm running about 20 minutes late. It's like, dude, you're in the trades where people show up late all the time. You're not even supposed to call me and let me know you're running late. Now I question your ability.
Yeah.
But he's very good, and so I guess it worked out.
We saved that message that you left us when you were frustrated with your plumber because it was so funny. We would play it and just laughing. As you left this long message about how upset you were with the plumber, and I think it ended with something like, yeah, because I guess this plumber expects everyone to goddamn kiss his feet because he's a goddamn plumber. It was some crazy angry message, and we just played it over and over and laughed. And he thinks he's the only goddamn plumber in Los Angeles, apparently.
Graham had had enough.
Yeah.
I forgot there was a plumber rant.
Yeah,
out there
and literally, around. And not even in person. You just left it on the voicemail, which was great.
Oh,
so, all right, plumber stories, ladies and gentlemen.
Remember the old days when you call a guy person's home phone and leave a voicemail?
Yes.
Yeah.
Then you check your messages from a payphone.
Oh,
yep.
A payphone is something you put a quarter in.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. So, let's before we get started, let's talk about Chip's
money tips. Started to do this now. So, you've been an actor and a comedian.
And it's a blog, right?
Yes, it's a personal finance blog that it's kind of a side gig for me that I'm like, hey, if I'm not acting, here's something I'm deeply interested in, and it's personal finance. It basically gives people money tips in a candy coated shell, is what I call it. So, I give them little ways they can make money and save money, and chipsmoneytips.com.
I subscribe to the monthly email, and I'm like, there's always something in there where I'm like, man, this is unbelievable. At your party, I was like,
yeah.
Can I really save $800 through Chase?
Like right now, there's, this is time to plug Chips Money Tips. Come over to ChipsMoneyTips.com. There is actually a way that you can make $800 with a credit card that I'm happy to tell you about. So if you're listening to this and you're going, what? Send me an email. And
I remember talking to you about it because you were always, because I'd call you with like, hey, we were always like, house guys talking, what do you think about this and that? And you had this very keen sense. And I remember you were like, I'm thinking about doing a talk and giving people tips because I talk to people and they don't, you know, they haven't researched money the way I have or whatever. Yeah. I said, you should do that. I think most people are kind of, unless you're raised to like, or you studied it in college or something like that. I think a lot of people just sort of like.
Don't have that skill set.
No.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's something I just kind of got better at as I went. Because my folks were fine, but I know what you're saying. A lot of people have no idea.
Right.
And it's like, wow. And some of them are my sisters. But they're, I think I took all the personal finance crazy and I have it all. And I have 3 shares of it. And I don't think my sisters have as much as I do. That's what I should say.
Well, Chris and I, we've talked about this sometimes, just, you know, being raised middle class in the 70s and 80s, it was like,
put your money in a savings account.
Yeah.
And that was it.
That was it. That was it.
That was the financial advice from our parents.
Go to college, get a good job, and get a savings account. That was it. Because that's what that worked for their generation. Yeah. Like, buy a house, get a savings account. Mm-hmm. That was it. And it was like,
what's a stock option? I don't know.
Sounds like a bunch
sounds crazy.
Yeah. I know. So we weren't really equipped to, especially now that everything's so changed and there's all these new economies and, you know, I mean, podcasting, whatever didn't exist and money from podcasting and all that stuff, let alone all these other things. And now this whole shared economy of Airbnb and Uber and Lyft is like a complete change of everything.
I remember coming out here being an actor or a comedian. You're going, hey, I got to make money. Maybe I'll get a job as a waiter. But now, I mean, I would think you could get side gigs like Uber, Lyft, driving, doing this and that, picking up.
There's much more of a part-time economy
here. If I moved out here now, 24, 25, and as from Chicago and been making my living as a comedian in Chicago, moved out here now as a 25, I'd be an Uber driver.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You wouldn't be thinking about a bartending job and hoping it works into your schedule.
No.
Yeah.
And hoping the boss would be cool when I got a bail for auditions. Yeah. It would just be like a done deal. Like, oh, I'm going
to
drive Uber.
And you could. You could move to LA. Like, I waited 5.5 years after doing the road, and I was like, I got to save up money, and then I got to be there. Because I got to be there for a while. But now, Uber, you move out, just get your Uber thing out, drive for people.
That's what I do.
Hope they don't throw up in your car.
Yeah.
That would be bad.
All right. Speaking of throwing up in your car, let's talk about some movies.
Yes. Office Christmas Party. Now, this movie was a budget of $45 million. It's the 5th movie with Jason Bateman and Jennifer Aniston. And this made me laugh, this piece of trivia. The title was inspired by an SNL sketch because... Were they really having so much trouble coming up with a title to this film?
Wow.
And wow.
Office Christmas. Those words have never been put together before.
Yeah, we need something that says Office, Christmas, and Party. How are we going to do this? I think it was more inspired by the marketing release department. You know, and it was this kind of movie. I was watching it, and I'll tell you, it's okay. It doesn't do anything horribly wrong. It doesn't do anything horribly right. It's the same thing... The same problem that this movie has is the same problem that big budget or studio horror movies have. Studio comedies and studio horror movies have the same issues. They're so beholden to hitting these old model beats that they're all the same and none of them can break out of this shell.
You mean the directors of The Switch didn't do anything innovative?
And Blades of Glory. But now here's the thing too. I can't even give them all the blame because it's just the model. I'm sure they had the studio heads giving them notes every 5 minutes because it's always that same thing. All right, social media joke, hot girl joke, insensitive racist joke, but we'll make it funny. And then, a couple gross out jokes that are really tasteless, but we got to put them in. Like, okay. All right. And it was literally like you're checking off boxes while you're watching this movie.
I think I'd like to see this film.
Yeah.
Those are some of my favorite things.
So, and it's also, it just feels like it's you know, one kind of sketch put together. Like, it never even feels like a coherent film. Like, T.J. Miller doesn't get enough to do. Like if you have more of a character-driven comedy or even a broad comedy like this, but with better characters in it, it makes it more interesting. Like, Jennifer Aniston does an okay job. T.J. Miller does an okay job.
These are funny people.
They're funny people.
Jason
There's
Bateman
a lot of
funny.
Jason,
times.
Yeah, they're very good.
T.J. Miller's hilarious.
And it's like, okay, well, take Jason Bateman, take, you know, part of him from Arrested Development, you know, take T.J. Miller and put a little bit of Office Space in, take Jennifer Aniston from Horrible Bosses, give her like one or two other character traits. Like, there was never, it never felt like a lot of effort went into making this movie. It was, it feels like it's, you know, it's a holiday release comedy, rushed out the door, just hit all these points and we're good. So I really feel like the studios need to take a lesson from the indie directors with horror, because that's where the most interesting stuff is going on in horror right now, isn't it? But also in comedy, even if you go back to that Seth Rogen movie, Observe and Report, where he was the security guard, it was like, you're laughing hysterically, but also you're cringing. Like, it makes you uncomfortable. Like it can actually generate a little bit of emotion because you have fully fleshed out characters, which this clearly doesn't have. Even like... I think it was Courtney Vance.
Yeah.
He, you know, everyone does their best in the movie. No one does a horrible job acting, but even like his character, it's slight, everything is like slightly fleshed out. Like, everything could have used like a little bit more of everything, a little more story, a little more jokes, a little, but again, it was, you know, you're checking off these boxes of like, okay, you know, like the different types of jokes, the different types of caricatures of the characters that these actors are doing their best playing. And I really feel like it's, we need to stop making studio horror movies and studio comedies by committee. That's really how this feels like. It's like, you know, there's probably like four or five writers that, you know, try to flesh out the script from an assignment, and each writer, you know, gets a pass, then it goes back, it comes back. Then there's 100 more punch-up writers.
Actually, there were six writers.
Oh,
credited,
okay.
And two directors. So
I was slightly off on the number, but that's what it feels like. There's no coherent vision. There's no coherent voice there. It just feels like it's, you know, everybody throwing in a joke or a scene and just rushing it out for Christmas. So, but again, there are some funny moments. There's some funny lines, but it's like, yeah, this is a great airplane rental movie. I wouldn't rush out to go see it.
It'll be on a plane.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It'll have a low license fee.
Yeah, it'll be somewhere.
So, yeah.
Quickly.
So this one, I would call it aggressively average, because it's pretty much saying that everything, that its mediocrity was clearly calculated. So Office Christmas Party, there you go.
Okay, so now Chip, you and I both saw La La Land.
Yes.
What were you? Let's start with you. What did you think about that?
I liked it. I'm not a big musical guy. I take it or leave it, but I thought it was fun. I like the look of it. I think if I understand correctly, it was shot on film, which they don't do that often anymore. So it looked cool.
Oh, you trailed off there.
Yeah. I lost. I thought Graham was going to say something, so I just shut up.
I thought it was good.
You
know,
and then I thought it was still good, and then I liked it even more. And my good friend Emma Stone was in it. She's a great girl. Great, good friend of mine.
Yeah, I'm similar to you. I'm not a big musical fan, so that wasn't the hook to me. But I did like, they clearly wanted it to be an old Singing in the Rain style thing. And, you know, it starts shot in CinemaScope, and they use kind of old school fonts and stuff like that. And but yeah, the fact, it doesn't surprise me that it was shot on film, because it really looked like those old movies.
And I thought for a moment, like, I'm not going to spoil anything, but the movie starts and what's his name? Ryan Gosling's got in a car and he's got a tape deck and he's playing a tape. And then I thought, oh, maybe it's a period piece.
I thought the same thing, because all the cars were a little older in that opening number.
And then I'm with the girlfriend, and she's like, what are you talking about? They cut to Emma Stone. She's on an iPhone in a Prius, I think.
Yeah.
And I was like, I missed that. I was kind of tired. Otherwise, because I was into it for about a half an hour, and then all of a sudden I saw she pulled out a laptop. I'm like, okay, so it's current day.
Yeah.
But I missed that one cue earlier where she's on the phone in her car.
They did a lot of fun things in this. The opening number is everyone stuck in traffic, and then they get out and start dancing. And it's this very – the thing I loved about it, it slows down a little. End of the second act, beginning of third act, it kind of slows down, which it gets more into sort of story and character arc, which is fine. I kind of wanted more the big dance numbers because they were, I don't know how to explain. They were.
You want more Bollywood?
Well, yeah, but it wasn't a parody of these, but it was such a tip of the hat that it really was cool. And the movie is a love letter to Los Angeles. I mean, it really, like, right. All of the old, the Griffith Observatory, any old, the Rialto Theater, any old bar, and he's a big jazz guy, so he's, like, mad that these old jazz clubs are dying and stuff like that. And so and the way they shoot it is, it's almost like if the Favreau movie that broke him and Vince Vaughn. I'm blanking.
Swingers.
It's almost like if Swingers was a
yeah, a little bit
was a musical.
Mm-hmm.
Because it had all that feel to it, and you know the opening number is really big and fun, but it's also a celebration of Los Angeles, kind of. And like how diverse it is and how unique of a city it is and how weird it is and how crazy showbiz. Like, we've seen the crazy, how difficult show business is. We've seen that before.
Sure.
But I really like the way they handled it.
Yeah.
Like the auditioning.
That was funny. Yeah. Yeah. That was good and accurate. Yeah. I don't want to spoil it.
Have to give away the ending. Just don't get, but like anything up to that point, sort of, you could discuss. Like,
I only want to discuss the ending. Is that weird? What can I think of?
Well,
how was the music? I'll ask that.
It was really cool. Yeah. It was fun. And then, you know, John Legend is in part of the movie as this big band leader.
I also saw he's a producer on it.
Yeah.
So I wonder if he found the story or if he helped fund it.
That's a great.
Because at the end, when I saw the movie, they had a little thing at the end, a little thing about the movie with the director guy, and they said they've been trying to do it for 6 or 7 years,
mm-hmm.
if I'm not mistaken. So they've been trying to get it done, and watch the credits, and what's his name was in it?
John Legend. Yeah, it was really cool, and so Ryan Gosling gets a gig with John Legend's band, and so there's a couple cool scenes with John Legend talking about, one of them's in the trailer about, you know, I'm paraphrasing here, but he's like, your jazz is about innovation, and you're holding on to the past, you know, because that's sort of Ryan Gosling is sort of this sort of didactic jazz purist, you know, one of those guys, and you can't change it, and you can't, it's got to be the same, and he sort of has to figure that out a little bit.
Because the jazz fans are dying off. And,
right.
And you got to change it so that it can be accessible to the young kids.
Mm-hmm. Which was really cool, and it was like, and also they did this, in the background, on wide shots, there'd be like the Fay Dodo and the Baked Potato and all these old jazz clubs. Some of them might be here, might not be here anymore. But like when I first moved to LA, I was always a big jazz fan. And
really?
I started going to jazz clubs like the Baked Potato and...
Down the street from my old apartment.
Yeah. And
what's the place in Glendale?
Is that still
around?
I think is that the Fay Dodo? I forget.
I don't remember.
But there was a bunch of them, and there's little like winks to them throughout the film that like if you're a Los Angeles jazz fan, you would know
what we're talking about.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it was really cool, and
so the half of the movie was a jazz crawl.
Kind of. Yeah, there was. When I first moved to town, 88.1 K Jazz, they had a jazz crawl, and you could go to all these places around LA, and that's where I learned about them, and it was the coolest thing. I donated money to them, and they mentioned my name on the radio, and I remember.
So like this, we have a donor, a benefactor, Graham Elwood,
and because for me it brought home just a lot of memories of being in my early 20s. When you first moved here, and I was like moving furniture on the weekends in Orange County, because going back to what we were talking about, like because the Uber thing wasn't available,
right.
I couldn't wait tables because I needed days off for auditions. I needed nights off to do stand up.
Yeah.
So we couldn't work nights. And I couldn't really go on the road. I didn't want to go on the road.
Because, why be here if you're going to be on the road?
Yeah. Why be here if you're going to be on the road? And the road back then was very different. Now you can sort of build a fan base on the road. Then it was almost like a dead end. Like,
Yeah.
Oh, you couldn't make it in LA or New York, so you got to go on the road, where the road is a completely different animal now. And so I remember just like having to do every odd job. I remember doing telemarketing with Pat Francis for about 2 weeks until we got fired.
Nice.
I remember doing all those surveys, you know,
you call people up?
Well, not you could call people up, but marketing things where you'd come in.
Focus groups,
yes. And you'd get like $100 to sit for 2 hours and talk about this thing. And they'd, you know, and I just remember.
They still do those.
Yeah, I know people who still do those. But I remember like being in my early 20s and we were all, like there's a scene with all of her roommates and they're all young actresses. Yeah. And there's a big dance room about going to this party. And I remember going to some of those parties. We'd go to someone would be a friend of a friend at some swanky party in the hills, and we'd all kind of like, oh, wow.
We'd just be getting ready at 9.
Yeah, yeah.
We'd get there at like 10 or 11. Like, oh, it's just starting.
Yeah. I remember going to the guy that created Deep Space Nine. I forget his name, but he had a swanky house. There was this big party in Hollywood, and me and Paul Goebel and a couple other people went, and it was packed. There was all these people from the show were like, there's that celebrity and that celebrity. I'm like, oh my God. And then like, as the party started to clear out, some girls were swimming naked in the pool.
And Hollywood.
And Goebel was like, we gotta go. Well, we gotta join.
I mean, that's the utopian future Gene Roddenberry, you know, was creating.
But I like that depiction too of like, everything is a swanky party where everyone's dressed to the nines.
And the girls are gorgeous and they're all had their own different colored dress on and they were all perky and happy and dancy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And all the guys are good looking in suits and everything like that.
No one has a problem.
Yeah. No one, there was not a problem. There's not a care in the world. So it was like, it was really.
So it was a recommend.
I would, you know, and the thing that we found out is, so Ryan Gosling, I'm like, God, did he grow up playing the piano? He practiced for 2 hours a day for weeks. So there's no doubling on his piano.
That's all him?
It's all him. It's, wow. It's like, because sometimes they cut down. I'm like, oh, is this where they're?
Yeah, you cut to some dude's hands. Because I was looking for that because I heard he took lessons as well, but I didn't know that it was all him. Because some of them are like, oh, this can't be him. Well, good for him.
He does an amazing job, and I think, I guess if you were like a professional pianist, you might go, oh, well, he didn't do this, this, or this. But and it was really supposed to have Emma Watson and Miles Teller, but I love Miles Teller, and he's younger. But I think it sort of fit with Ryan Gosling because there was that, oh, he's in his 30s and he's still barely getting by.
That's true. That does help him.
And I thought it does help the character and the like, you know, they had just sort of allude that him and John Legend had an issue or something. And you sort of realize like, oh, and this is in the trailer too. He gets fired because he won't play the set list.
Yeah.
He wants to do his crazy jazz improvisations. And so you realize, oh, maybe he's struggling in his 30s because he's a problem.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I think it would be better with Ryan than Miles, definitely.
Because Miles would just be like, oh, he's just a young kid, and they're both just kids trying to struggle to make it. But Ryan being a little older is like...
Yeah, it's probably better casting then.
Yeah, I think so. And I think Ryan...
Now, who's the better singer? Miles Teller...
And I think Gosling. Doesn't the movie roughly start with Gosling's sister trying to basically say, you don't have enough money for all this? No. So, yeah, it kind of underlines, dude, you're a hot mess.
Yeah.
He needs chips, money tips is what he needs. Like that. But it was, you're right. He was like almost 40, and you're like, oh, this guy's time passed.
It's passed.
Yeah. And now he's still playing in a little restaurant.
And he won't let go of a lot of stuff.
I'm a jazz player.
Yeah.
No. You know, play this stuff.
You're hard to deal with.
Yeah.
You know?
Problem.
There's a great scene where John Legend goes, my old piano guy wasn't half as good as you, but you are a pain in the ass to deal with. Like, just has to flat out say it. But yeah, it's cool. And it's. I also think the other thing is Ryan Gosling's look. He looks like a guy, an actor from an older era.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, Miles Teller's just looks like a good-looking young actor. He doesn't, like, Ryan Gosling looks like an old, like, you put him in those suits and everything, and with that lighting and with his hair, he looks like a guy that would have been in those movies in the 50s or 60s.
Hmm. Back in the day.
Yeah.
All right.
So, it's worth seeing. Got a lot of Golden Globe nominations.
Good. You know. So check it out. Next one is The Founder.
I have a question.
Yes.
I would like to submit something to this podcast. It's related to movies, yes, and it's related to me, so it's very interesting to me. And it's related to Emma Stone. I did mention this. Should I bring it up? Can we cut away?
Yeah, bring it up.
We're not going to cut away. I did a movie with Emma Stone earlier this year called Battle of the Sexes. And when I was on this, I played Rune Arledge, and she was Billie Jean King. Mm-hmm. And it's about the tennis tournament. And I played the ABC sports president, Rune Arledge. So I had a few days on the set. And one day I'm sitting there with Emma, and I'm just chatting her up. So where are you from? She says, Arizona. I said, oh, that's nice. She goes, eh. And then she says, where are you from? So right away I'm surprised that someone in Hollywood cares about me because everyone's into themselves. So I said, oh, I'm from Cincinnati. She said, oh, my folks are from Columbus. They went to Miami. I said, I went to Miami. What year did they graduate? And he said, well, hold on a second. Were they in sororities, fraternities? So my mom was a DG. I forget what my dad was. So I emailed a friend of mine who's married to a DG. He writes back. I was like, do you know anybody related to Kathy Yeager? That's Emma's mom. And he writes back going, yeah. Her sister, Karen, lived with Katie and Margaret, whom I've known since I was a child. And I come back to her from the lunch break. I come back, go, Emma, the world just got smaller. I went to college with your cousin or with your Aunt Karen. And she's like, no way. So it was kind of cool to have that connection. And now that we're such good friends, seeing her in the La La Land, it was great to support a good friend of mine. Emma Stone. So that's my weird, not related to La La Land, but La La Land related.
That's totally great. That's the kind of stuff we want to hear on this show.
Oh, that. See, right? Well, let me tell you more.
So when does that movie come out?
Next year. It's Billie Jean King and Bobby Riggs. I don't know if your audience is old enough to remember this.
Some of them
but
are.
But 73, they had a Battle of the Sexes. I guess that was the year they did it. It was a tennis tournament. Billie Jean King was the number one or two tennis player of the year, but she was an old 29-year-old woman playing tennis. Bobby Riggs challenged her to a match. He was a 55-year-old tennis pro whose days have gone by. He was also a little bit of a chauvinist and a self-promoter. And he had just beaten the number one tennis player woman. I forget her name. But it was Billie Jean's turn to step up and knock this guy back. And it's 73, women's rights, gearing up. It was a big time for that. And so she cleaned his clock. And she was played by Emma Stone. And Steve Carell played Bobby Riggs.
Oh, very cool. And,
I was ABC sports president Rune Arledge.
Oh, wow.
I got outraged because I paid $750,000 for the rights to this tennis match. And they were thinking about quitting. Something to that effect.
That's awesome. Wow. I've heard his name before reading any sort of Monday Night Football.
Yeah,
stuff.
He's a big, he did, he got ABC. I think he brought us Wild World of Sports on ABC. And then he went over to the news and started World News Tonight. He was a big shot at ABC for a number of years.
That's a cool guy to play.
Yeah, and I was like, that was really I know cool. That guy. It's not like, okay, you're the pizza guy. You play Rune Arledge. Well, that's a good, it's a
how
name.
Many, how much, how long was the audition process for you to get it?
I just read for it once, actually.
And they just went, you.
And they said, we want you, but we got to get it approved. And I said, great. And then said, you're approved. I said, great.
And that's awesome, dude.
It was easy. I was like, all right.
CC Ryder giving out the money tips on set to Emma Watson.
Emma Stone.
Yeah.
Emma Stone.
When the movie comes out, then we'll have you and Emma back in to promote.
I will text her. I just need to get her cell phone number first, but that'll be easy. I'll just text her.
Oh, nice. All right. Let's talk about The Founder.
Yes. This is the Ray Kroc story.
This is Ray Kroc starring Michael Keaton. Chris's phone is ringing. He still has a home phone.
It's actually the printer.
The printer.
Ooh. No, it still have a fax line.
You have a fax line.
It's an all-in-one, but it's connected to the phone line.
Fancy all-in-one over here.
Wow. And it takes forever to shut off.
It's fantastic. I hope that you could fax like a beeper.
Yeah.
Or
something's coming over the teletype, Chris. What is this here?
Yes.
Oh, my.
Do you need to call Carlisle 5300 to...
And when a bank doesn't want you to fill out a form, they tell you to fax it because they figure you can't send it in.
Bastards.
So The Founder. So this was the Michael Keaton movie, which I think has been limited release right now, but is going to go wide in January. The trailer to me looked very interesting because the Ray Kroc story is very interesting.
Have you seen it?
No, sir.
Have you seen it?
No, but I know a little bit of history of it. Like the innovation with McDonald's wasn't necessarily the burgers; it was the assembly line mentality.
Yes.
So did they get into that?
Yeah, they cover that. Basically, Yeah, to not spoil the movie, Ray Kroc is, according to the movie, so I'm just going off with the movies. I don't know anything else about this. Mm-hmm. But Ray stumbles upon these guys who are the McDonald brothers who have this restaurant that is super speedy. In 30 seconds, they can get a burger into a bag and hand it to you. And so it's tasty burgers and it's speedy. So that was what he was very impressed with. And then it follows his trying to get them to franchise, which they'd already done a little bit of, but didn't have as much success as they wanted. So it was very interesting to see the process of how he got it franchised. McDonald's is very popular.
Worldwide. So is it basically just focus on the early days, or does it go like...
It goes through the point where he buys... This is known, so I'm not screwing up the story, because it's a true story. But he buys out the McDonald's brothers. Mm. So it goes through that, which is in the 50s.
Right.
Yeah. It doesn't tell you. It's before the Ronald McDonald era, as far as I know.
But that's like the... And Michael Keaton now, in late in life, is becoming this like Oscar contender every year. Is it an Oscar contender?
It's good. I don't know if it's an Oscar contender. He doesn't. It's not like this. Like well, the other one was. What was the bird thing?
Yeah.
What was it? What was that called?
Birdman.
Birdman. Yeah. I came to the right place. We're not knowing titles. that was much more dramatic than this. I could see where he could get the award for Birdman, but this is good. But it's also weird because he used to be a comedian and now he's getting all these dramatic roles, so he does a great job.
I mean, yeah, he started as a stand-up comic, did sitcoms, did all these comedy movies, was the Johnny Comedy guy, and then
Mary, the variety show with David Letterman and Mary mm-hmm. Tyler Moore hosting in the late 70s. He was on that cast. Swoosie Kurtz.
Yeah. And then like
stuff like Batman,
the did the Batman movies Batman. And mm-hmm. then that sort of like almost feel like he probably had a career lull, did like Herbie the Love Bug and was probably like, oh boy. And now he's...
Yeah, I Mr. Mom, I loved.
Oh, Mr. Mom is
Johnny
fantastic.
Dangerously? Come on, he's putting price tags on puppies? Come on. I still say Fargan Isles all the time and Vestiges.
Well, yeah, it's the same...
There was definitely a lull.
There was, he had a lull. But it's the same director that did The Blind Side and Saving Mr. Banks. So it's clearly like, all right, they're looking for some nominations on some mm-hmm. level. John Lee Hancock is the director. So is it a thing that you, is it like a definite recommendation, go out and see it, or?
Well, I like biography, so I am biased in that way, because that's basically a biography. I like,
yes.
How did this happen? How did they get from that to this? Mm-hmm. And so I'm biased in that way. I think it's a good movie. I should have asked Kyle what he thought of it. My friend Kyle saw it. Kyle, what did you think of it? You're a young kid with facial hair. Did you enjoy it? Kyle, if you're out there listening, call us on Chris's fax line.
Fax in your response, Kyle. We'll read it immediately.
Yeah, so I can't say it's a must-see, but I really liked it. Mm-hmm. And I walked out, and I was like, you know what? I saw it in Hollywood, on Hollywood Boulevard, and I walked right out, went down two stores, right in from the Egyptian into the McDonald's, and I got a McDonald's fries with a sandwich.
Now, you would think this would be the exact movie for, like, a Happy Meal tie-in. Like, what?
If not this one, when?
There's got to be some kind of, like, mini assembly line they could put in. So, like, the boxes
this,
or something.
This Happy Meal will steal your taste buds like Ray Kroc did to the McDonald's burgers or something.
Exactly.
It's got a big cast. I mean, it's got Linda Cardellini.
Oh, that's who that was. I knew she was in it, but I couldn't place her. She played Jane Kroc.
Okay. Laura Dern's in it.
Yep.
A lot of other people. It looks interesting to me.
That one guy from The Thing, Lynch, he's in it.
Oh, John Carroll Lynch, who's like Mac McDonald. He's my favorite. He's played like silly guys and regular guys, but when he was in the Zodiac movie, when he played basically the Zodiac killers, like that one couple creepy scenes, man, he was a great creepy. Probably serial killer.
Did he Michael Shannon it up?
No, he wasn't like just... He was like regular Joe that they were like, we really like this guy as the suspect. There's that great scene where he gets up and walks away and all the cops are just standing there watching him like, that's our guy. Because it's a couple of things that he said. And he did very, very subtle. It wasn't just overtly Michael Shannon where you're like, oh, from 50 yards away, that guy's the bad guy.
Right?
But like, he's a really good character actor.
Oh, cool.
And Nick Offerman was in it too, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
It was a good cast.
All right. The founder, folks.
And it's based in the 50s, so it's like looking back in time. You get to, oh, I remember.
Hey.
And people wore dresses everywhere.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Make America great again.
Right. Check the hat.
All right. We got a sponsor, buddy.
Yes, you can make your Christmas party great again.
Oh, with, attaboy.
TipsyElves.com. This is our final ad read for the year. Tipsy Elves always comes right before Christmas, and this is a great sponsor. The sweaters are really, really fun. We got ours. In fact, my daughter like fell in love with the sweater I got my wife, so now I had to order her one. So they're already making money off us, the hosts. So it's a really good product, TipsyElves.com. Some of the sweaters, the more popular ones, have sold out, but there's still a lot of really great ones. It's ugly sweaters. It's there's pajamas. There's all sorts of stuff. But really, they're sweaters. For me, they're the best. They're the best part. I got my son a male sweater that has Santa on a unicorn holding up a sword.
Oh, it's fantastic. And there's like, he's in space.
Yeah, and he's in space.
That's how Santa Claus communicates. They have ski suits.
Yeah.
And they got these crazy Christmas suits that I would love to get. They're very fancy Christmas suits. I don't know how else to describe
it. Like a regular suit, but it's red?
Mm-hmm. No, it's got like, you know, lights on it. It's red and green. It's got Christmas trees. It's very, you're going to stand
You can
out.
Look like the Riddler.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
They got cool stuff. They got stocking stuffers for under $20, which is fun. They've got men's t-shirts. They've even got Hanukkah stuff.
They do have kid sizes, kids clothing too. Mm-hmm.
Hanukkah and Christmas fall on the same day this year.
Oh.
From what I understand, that happens every 19 years. I'm not sure about that last part.
Good to know.
Write that down. Put that in your Tipsy Elves tickle file. Maybe they make a sweater out of it. Hanukkah on the front, Christmas on the back. Just an idea, guys. You run with it.
It's inclusive.
That sounds like a great money tip. 20% off all of their collegiate apparel. So I'll give you a look. Like I said, I bought this University of Arizona sweater, kind of a holiday-looking sweater. Was not the right size, which was my fault. I sent it back, got the new one in the mail like a week or so.
Yeah, customer service is really good.
It's great.
And we're not going to let you pay full price. No. It's almost Christmas. You got to order quickly to get it in time for Christmas. And use our promo code CFN at checkout and get your 20% site-wide discount. So it doesn't even matter if you buy leggings, pajamas, sweaters, anything. Everything's 20% off. It'll come off on your cart. So remember, tipsyelves.com and use the code CFN.
Boom. All right, let's talk about some trailers.
Yes, I'll tell you, I've never watched three trailers in a row and gotten so excited about three. Three for three on these. The first one, Spider-Man Homecoming. Thank you. I just want to say thank you. Finally, Sony and Marvel and Disney sat down at a table, worked out some differences.
Yeah.
And now we can finally get Spider-Man back into the Marvel universe. Although the terms of the deal, from what I was reading, is that basically Marvel and Disney are making the movie for Sony. So Sony still owns the rights, but they're in charge of all the production. So Sony's actually releasing it. So
Sony
allowed the characters. So that Marvel and Disney were physically making the movie.
Good. As long as Sony isn't involved in making the movie.
Yeah. We don't care who distributes it. As a fan, we could care less.
Don't care.
Yeah.
Put your dumb logo on it.
Yeah, exactly.
But just
that's fine.
Don't go near the script or physical
production. Don't approve any hires on this movie at all. And it's really fun, and it also goes back to kind of like the young high school Spider-Man, because if you read the comics, you know, Spider-Man's been around for so long, and Peter Parker's life has changed dramatically from being a high school kid to, you know, there are story arcs where he goes back to the high school and he's the science teacher now, and, you know, he does all these as opposed to, like, you know, the high school kid who's getting pushed around by Flash Thompson. There's all these different storylines, but this feels like a real back to basics, with the exception of, you know, he's part of the big Marvel universe and Tony Stark gives him his uniform, and, you know, will he be working with S.H.I.E.L.D. or any of that? But it's all fine.
Right.
It's really good. I love the trailer. I can't wait for this movie. I think Tom Holland is going to do a great job as Spider-Man, and I was just really excited to see it. And just that last shot of the trailer with just Spider-Man and Iron Man in the same frame, it was like, oh, that guy, you know, we got to see them fight together in a Civil War, but we really need we haven't had a good Spider-Man movie since Spider-Man 2 with Sam Raimi. That was the last good Spider-Man movie.
I don't know that the backstory of Spider-Man, like, as much as you guys do, does it stay true to what real fans of Spider-Man would think it should be, if that's
that's
the right
what the
question.
Trailer looks like.
That's
to
what
me.
It looks
that's
like.
The,
yeah.
The last good. Sony movies felt like they really went off track. This one looks because they introduced this kid in the last Captain America Civil
right,
War.
Civil War.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So they introduced this young kid, and they basically said, "This is how we're going to reboot this whole Spider-Man character." And now this Spider-Man is in the whole Marvel universe. Uh-huh. And the Marvel Universe seems to be very concerned with keeping things accurate and close good. To the comic as, yes. as much as possible. So that's
and interacting properly.
Right.
Like the way it's supposed to be. Like, yeah, I mean, Iron Man is going to dismiss him as a kid. Of course he is.
Right.
The other thing I loved is Michael Keaton as the Vulture. You know, he really gets to play Birdman now. This looks
it's
even
so
great.
Fantastic.
And he was really good in the trailer, too. So... the next trailer we saw was Fast and Furious 8. Now, I full disclosure here, I was watching a trailer, and it was Vin Diesel getting in a fancy car, there was shooting, he was driving around, and I realized they weren't mentioning family, and I realized I was watching the Triple X trailer.
Oh, yeah, because the Fast and Furious 8, they mentioned family a lot, and it sounds like... Vin Diesel goes rogue. He abandoned his family, and then there's an inter-family fight. This just looks fantastic.
Now, I've not seen 1-7. Does that will that make this hard to get?
Does
in?
He get called on abandoning his family? Do they call him on it?
They do call him on it. And boy, Chip, I would advise you, please, to go watch 1-7.
Binge those. Yeah. Then see it. Okay, good to know.
Just keep making these movies. Keep
oh
making
my God,
more.
Are they great? I've never seen one.
They
of
are
them.
So.
Is it car porn? I heard it was car porn.
It's not even anymore. It's like expanding. They get chased by a submarine in the trailer.
Nice.
They got chased by a submarine on the ice. In Fast and Furious 6, there was a fight on a big airplane that was trying to take off. Mm-hmm. It was on a runway for 15 minutes.
Right.
Like, it was fantastic. It was like these movies... are so ridiculous, but in the most entertaining way.
Right, because they never hide the fact that they're ridiculous. Like, we're going to be ridiculous. You want to see ridiculous, we'll show you ridiculous.
It's like drinking, you know, a 32-ounce Mountain Dew on a roller coaster while somebody gives you cotton candy. Like, right. It's just insane. It's just...
I mean, the other trailer, there's another part in the trailer where there's literally a car fight.
Yeah, there's a car fight.
There's like the cars are fighting each other.
Car fight.
By not being Transformers, they still have drivers. They're fighting each other as, like, tethers and ropes, and they're swinging around, and I'm like, which car is going to win this fight?
It's like physics. Don't bring a lot of physics into this movie.
Good.
Or an expectation of the laws of gravity or anything like that.
Newton's laws of motion. No, they all get thrown out the window.
Don't
Is
do
Speed
it.
Racer in this one?
God, that would be
that would be a great crossover.
That would be a great crossover. Yeah. Jason Statham's
He's got
in
a car
it.
Yeah, Jason Statham's in it. Yeah, so now you get...
I think that's 9. I think that's Fast and Furious 9.
Nine.
Now you get car porn and martial arts, too.
Yes.
So even extra martial arts.
The Rock are in prison or something.
Oh, I know.
I don't
there's
care.
There's gonna be.
Just go.
Look, there's gonna be punching and driving. What more do you need to know?
Yeah, I saw bikinis. There was bikinis.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, of course. There's bikinis. There's gonna be bikinis.
Yep.
And the next trailer is War for the Planet of the Apes. Now, this is such an interesting thing where, you know, we were all rolling our eyes. We're like, oh, they're gonna make a prequel to Planet of the Apes. These are gonna suck. And we're on what? Like the third one? Now,
oh yeah, this is the third one, and they keep
getting better.
Yeah.
They're great, and Woody Harrelson comes out in his like his Reign of Fire outfit when he was fighting dragons. Now he's going to be fighting apes, but he's like the same, or like when Matthew McConaughey, it feels like that same character when he was like that crazy guy fighting dragons. He's the guy fighting the apes.
And it's the same director that did Dawn of the Planet of the Apes. He did Let Me In. He did Cloverfield.
Mm-hmm.
Is this the future? Like in
this is right before it will be a Planet of the Apes.
Okay.
A little too on the nose on the voiceover. I'm like, yeah, we get it. We know it's a prequel to Planet of the Apes. And we know if we're going to follow the same timeline, it's probably going to be a Planet of the Apes.
It's basically what led up to the world Charlton Heston found, basically, is what they're doing.
I got you.
And it's really cool. And the technology now.
And I will say, this is the hardest one, because this one has to show exactly how this small amount of apes took over the planet.
Right. Yeah.
Oh, you know how they did that.
Oh,
chicka wow wow. That's a different movie.
Totally different movie, which I would also watch.
And Woody Harrelson looks like he's having so much fun in this movie.
Oh, God.
Just in the trailer.
Shaving his head. He looks like crazy mercenary.
Yeah. And you're like, oh, yeah, that's Matthew McConaughey in Reign of Fire. It's like that exact character. So we're really excited about all three of these. And they're all next year, right?
Yep. All in the summer of 17. Yep. So buckle up. Next summer's going to be fantastic.
Yeah. I was never a fan of like releasing a trailer that's 2 years out. Yep. If you're going to release a trailer, just next year.
Six, nine months.
Maybe. Yeah, that's all we need. Yeah.
Is Andy Serkis in this?
Yes, he is.
Is that how you say his name? Serkis?
Serkakis or whatever?
Whatever. He's fantastic.
He's great.
And they were talking last time. Imagine he should be nominated for an Oscar. And imagine if you won and your face was never actually on camera.
He really should because
he's acting
and the technology and what he's doing with the motion capture and everything is he's acting. It's unbelievable and what
plus all the physicality.
I mean the
facial emotions that he's doing are like it's really
motion
impressive.
Capture because it's a whole nother style of acting too. And even when the old school like creature suits, it's also a different style of acting. So and also I would say that some of the most underrepresented awards that we don't really have as much is like what you're talking about. You have the creature acting, you have motion capture, mm-hmm. and you also have stunts. You never see like, you know, these mainstream awards for these categories.
All right.
But hopefully that'll change. Should we go to DVDs?
Let's do it.
Suicide Squad. Look.
Oh, come on.
Our opinions aren't going to change on this movie. Yours aren't as well. I doubt a director's cut is going to make much difference. You know, I guess you could say it was better than Batman versus Superman, but, you know, everything's relative.
That's a bold remark.
Yes. you know, at least Will Smith looks like he was at least trying. So, you know, and it's just, it's not a good, there's no way to slight, it's not a good movie. It's just not a good movie. Now, here's what I have heard. The people that have enjoyed Suicide Squad are the ones that have already heard how bad it is and went in with expectations so low they were actually met. So if you haven't seen it and you know how bad it is and you're seeing it with very, very low expectations, you might enjoy yourself for 4 to 10 minutes. So good luck. Miss Peregrine's Home for Peculiar Children. When I saw this, like I said before, it was a pleasant surprise because I had read the book, and the book was so awful, this weird cobbled-together mess of old photographs, X-Men, and some Twilight-y romance-y nonsense. And Tim Burton took that source material, added an entirely new third act, because the book just ends, the first book just ends, because, you know, now it's, we don't want you to buy one book, we want you to buy the series, so we can't have endings to these books anymore until the last one. So he actually made an entire film, which, like I said, the kids loved it, I liked it, you know, and we always said, too, if you put Samuel Jackson in a movie, you should probably use Samuel Jackson in your movie. So he got more scenes, and he was in the movie more, and it was you know, like I said, it was a pleasant surprise.
Next is Florence Foster Jenkins.
Did you see that one?
Nope.
I didn't see that one either.
I didn't see it.
All right. You guys, tell us what you think.
Yeah,
I think it was great. Florence was my favorite part.
And then the Ben-Hur remake.
Yeah, I don't know anyone who saw that.
Wow. Why would you see that?
And Bridget Jones's Baby. This one got savaged in reviews. Even like Bridget Jones fans were not enjoying that film.
You know what I don't enjoy about that? I don't like how the thing is now where people put an apostrophe S after a word ending in S. And that's not just on the piece of paper in front of us. That's like sweeping the freaking world.
I know.
Yep. I'm a guy, if there's an S at the end, you keep an apostrophe on and you move on.
Yeah, that's old school. AP
I'm
style.
Old school. Right?
And, of course, the movie Morgan, which we thoroughly enjoyed seeing with a fan. And we did a spoiler ep. That was delightfully awful movie, but it was a fun experience.
It was fun in all of its awfulness.
What is Morgan?
Oh, man, that was that. How do we explain Morgan?
Well, AI, but with a genetically engineered, I would say Ex Machina with a genetically engineered girl instead.
Oh.
Yeah.
All right.
Sounds nice.
And then...
But don't worry. It hits all the same beats.
There's nothing. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
And then they're watching. That's the movie. So Micah Ian Wright and Jay Lender were on this...
it's on DVD now?
It's on DVD now, mm-hmm. and Amazon and Netflix and all that. Which is interesting because they shot this in Romania near in Cluj and stuff like that. So when he heard I was going over there for the festival, he's like, "Oh man, that's fantastic."
Did you do a tour of the They're Watching film sites?
Yeah, yeah. So the next time, oh,
I don't know why that happened. CC
Riders is getting a fax on his cell phone.
Quiet.
So yeah, they shot that movie in Bucharest, Cluj, and Sibiu. So. You want to support an indie horror movie that's got a kind of a sense of humor to it. It's about basically they're like a crew of house hunters international and then like go to this house and it's haunted. So it's sort of...
Yeah, we had Mike and Jay on the show, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Like it's all coming back to me.
Remember when I just said that 2 minutes ago?
No, actually I didn't. That's the...
So
I took a muscle relaxer last night.
Oh, good.
So yeah. Fantastic. So I'm still feeling it. It's pretty good.
All right. Yeah. So watch their watch.
Who are you?
And then, yeah, I'm Graham Elwood. I've done the show with you a couple of times.
We'll see.
And yeah. Mikey and Wright and Jay Leonard were on the show, and they promoted the movie Jay Leonard. Chip Chenery is our guest today.
Hey!
Does he have some money tips for us?
I had trouble getting through the gate.
So yeah.
I know what an off day is like.
So check that out. Site speed back. I'm all excited about Fast and Furious.
Yeah. Now, there's Neil actually saw The Founder. There's a review there. The Weekly Film News is up. The Monster in Eyes of My Mother. Neil went on a little horror spree, so there's a bunch of stuff to read about on the site. CJ's been throwing a bunch of new reviews on as well. And next week, CJ is actually starting a new show, and we'll be promoting that next week as well.
Oh, what's that show?
Yeah, so I have it in an email. I'm not sure. It's going to be great. But we'll be talking about that next week as well after we have a chance to take a look at it.
Now, who's CJ Miller again?
CJ Johnson. Johnson. Did you take a pill last night as well?
I should have. I need to relax my muscles a little more.
So we will be talking about that. And just as the Comedy Film Nerds family expands into Australia, we're premiering this week, Collateral Beauty. Mm-hmm. I'm probably going to need to see this movie alone so no one can see me tear up. This is the Will Smith movie about how death and time and love kind of come visit him after he writes to them. The trailer made me tear up. I know it was it split our audience when we did the live show. It's like people were very affected by it, and other people were like, "This is stupid." So I'm one of the people affected by it. So all right. I'm looking forward to it, but I was seeing it alone in a dark room. Next one, Rogue One. I wonder what this one's about.
I don't know. Star Wars. Yeah, that's weird. I'm excited.
I cannot wait to see this movie. Very, very excited. Every trailer that comes out just gets me more jazzed and excited to see this. I'm on board.
One of the better Star Wars movies.
I think it is too.
I think it's mm-hmm. because it, as I've said, it doesn't have to do any of these, like
the Force Awakens beats that they had to hit.
Well, we got to have a Chewie Han scene. We've got to have a, like, which all of those were fine, but this is just going to be unbridled Star Wars.
Yes. All right. We'll be doing a spoiler up next week,
yes,
won't
we? Will.
All right. Manchester by the Sea opens wide. It's been in limited release, and this one is the Casey Affleck movie. Yeah, I'm really excited about seeing
it. It looks
this
good.
Movie.
I was trying to see if I could find it. It's on a couple of screens here in LA, but when it goes wide, I'm going to definitely try to see it because it looks interesting.
Cool.
It's a good film.
All right. That's it.
That's our show. Mm-hmm. Chip Chinnery, where can people find you on the World Wide Web?
ChipChinnery.com or ChipsMoneyTips.com. I have two different websites.
Oh.
One guy, two websites.
Nice.
Yeah.
Do they link?
Damn right they do. I'm not a fool.
And then name the movie again that's coming out with Emma Stone?
2017, Battle of the Sexes with Emma Stone and Steve Carell and Chip Chinnery as Rune Arledge. That's how I'm billing it in my household. I'm looking forward to that. And my friend who's in a focus group said he saw it in a theater and that I'm still in it.
Nice.
So that's good.
They can't cut Rune out.
Why would you cut out Rune?
Until they filled out. Is it a good friend or did he fill out the focus group? Lose Chip Chinnery.
Hope he didn't do that. Yeah,
whoever played the ABC guy.
Yeah, I hated that guy. Turn the knob down on him. Yeah, then I guess I'll have an origin picture, right? Eventually that's the next step. Yeah, yes. Rune origin pick?
As well you should. I sense a Rune franchise coming out.
Yeah.
Who's the guy to play Rune? It's me.
It's you.
Yeah.
Right?
I want that guy's backstory. That's going to be what everyone's going to be saying at the end of this film.
Oh, man. I see a Rune Aldridge TV series. I see it all. Theme parks.
Hey, Rune. It's Rune.
Rune and Sons. I mean, it's going to be good stuff.
And I don't mind being typecast as Rune.
Oh, man.
It could be I'll be Mr. Whipple. That's an older reference list on younger viewers. And so is that.
So yeah. Now how
Carson
how can people get Chip's Money Tips?
ChipsMoneyTips.com is the website, and I have a free subscription. So if you guys want to learn about the posts, unlike Chris and Graham, whom I just spammed without their permission to get them involved, you can go to ChipsMoneyTips.com, and there's a link you can sign up. If you can get every post, an email about every post, or just a weekly one, and you can always unsubscribe if you're like, this is ridiculous. I don't care for you anymore.
There's good business in there. Every once in a while, I see something, and I'm like, all right.
Yeah.
Find out how to get $800 from your credit card.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or AutoSlash. That's still a thing that's out there, and I don't even make any money out of AutoSlash. But it's great. If you're renting a car, go rent your car, but then go over to AutoSlash. Or go through Chip's Money Tips to go to AutoSlash, because then they'll go, well, how do we get all this traffic? Well, they went from Comedy Film Nerds to Chip's Money Tips to AutoSlash. And then all of a sudden, we all get noticed. But anyway, it's a great way to, if you have a rental car, it's Christmas time, you have a rental car, go to AutoSlash.com, plug in your current rental car information, and they will find you a better deal. And they always do. It's crazy. And every time I save like $50.
Really?
So right now, if you, I have an auto rental through Hertz, I go to AutoSlash.com, give them my dates and my last name and the Hertz confirmation number, and they go, okay, zip. Then you get an email, hey, we got a better deal here at Thrifty. And then they'll keep doing it until you land. And I've just gotten off a plane going, oh, I just saved another $15. So the prices are always changing. So for the holidays, that's a tip I love to give about AutoSlash, because it's a really great. Cool website.
Nice.
And I think I'm going to put my post up there. I did a nice video of that about AutoSlash. I'm going to go home and I'm going to put that up. So by the time this is out, you guys are going to go, man, that's a great video. Chips Money Tips.
CC Ryder, I will be at Pennington's Pub in Lake Havasu this Thursday, the 15th. And then doing a show in the Irvine Improv with Doug Benson on the 27th. First time performing with him in quite some time. And then I have no other road dates. Just promoting.
For now.
Dates. For now. Mm-hmm. Things could change.
Yeah. And so like we said, it is Christmas time. We appreciate all the traffic and you guys buying a bunch of stuff in the store, especially earbuds. But, you know, we've gotten a couple emails like, hey, what's the cutoff? The cutoff is
December 21st.
December 21st.
If you have to order by the 21st in order for it to get to your place by the 24th. Domestic shipping, obviously, in the U.S.
Yes.
Because we'll ship it priority mail.
Yep.
Now, I have a question. Does that mean they have to order before the 21st, meaning through the 20th, or are you saying through the 21st?
Great question.
I say get it done by the 20th. That way there's not a concern.
Yeah.
Just do it on the 20th.
Gives us all a buffer day.
All your orders have to come in by the 20th. If you order after midnight on the 20th, then
we'll try, but we can't guarantee it.
What do you guys want from these people? Just order it through the 20th.
So we'll say the 20th, and we'll make sure it gets to you before Christmas.
We'll ship it on the 21st.
Yes. Done.
Boom. That's our show, ladies and gentlemen. I want to thank Chip Chinnery once again for coming into the Nerd headquarters.
Thank you, guys.
With a highly gated, very good security we have here that you could
stump me. I have a degree.
All right, well, that's our show, guys. Buy earbuds. We appreciate it. And go to Tipsy Elves. Go to Chip's Money Tips.
Yep.
My name is Graham Elwood.
And I'm Chris Mancini. And as always, remember,
Han shot first.